You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Frida Liu on Raise Your Game. We've been talking about character qualities in our performance by character series, to which there are 49. I'm here with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting and a character first trainer. And so far, we've gone through several character qualities. And today, we're going through two more. But before we go through the two more, perhaps a quick recap of what character is all about, in case we've forgotten.
Okay, thank you very much, Frida. It's good to be back again. The definition of character, Freda, is the qualities built into an individual's life that determine his or her response regardless of circumstances. The key word is our response regardless of circumstances. Because when you talk about character, Freda, it is about us rising up above a victim mentality. Because most of us tend to be guided by circumstances. And in the worst case, we tend to blame rather than take personal accountability. So the overarching purpose why we are having this series talking about character is that we want to raise that awareness that we can be accountable for the choices that we make rather than to be guided by our feelings and moods or circumstances. Mm. Because feelings change and circumstances change, but leaders are those who are stable their response.
Okay, so today we're talking about two character qualities, which is benevolence and discretion. So what's the character definition of benevolence?
But benevolence, it's quite a high-sounding word for love. I guess one of the reasons why we choose the word benevolence instead of love, because love is an overused word. Love could mean anything to anybody. Benevolence, on the other hand, has a more precise definition. It is defined as giving to others basic needs without having as my motive personal reward.
Mm.
Benevolence is actually being aware of what other people need. Not necessarily what they want, but what they need. And to be able to make commitments to help meet those needs without being calculative.
Okay, so it's alright. And what's the opposite of this?
The opposite of benevolence is selfishness. Selfishness is about, you know, that famous phrase, what's in it for me?
Mm.
You know, what do I get out of it? Selfishness is about calculating beforehand what your personal benefit would be before you choose to take any action. For example, I know of a personal friend of mine who owns a business who exemplified the character quality of benevolence very well. There was a time when one of his employees who was having some issues with his son, who is already in his 20s, and the son was having difficulty getting his business off the ground, was seeking for direction in life and so on. And this particular employee looked up to my friend as a leader. And what she did was she recommended her son to have a chat with this business owner. Now, if this business owner were to be calculative and say, hey, your son don't work for me, I don't know what problem he has, why should I take my time off as CEO and president of the company to talk to your son?
Mm.
But this friend of mine did not think like that. You know, he wanted to give to the son's basic needs without considering personal rewards. So what happened was he had a chat with the employee's son and then later on found out that he's quite a talented guy, gave him some tips and even provided some very practical advice and assistance to start his own business.
Mm.
So in that sense, he doesn't draw a boundary in his responsibility. So in order to practice the character quality of benevolence, we must be careful not to compartmentalize our lives.
Mm.
Like I will only do this because it's part of my job description.
Okay, when you talked earlier about selfishness, what's in it for me, I guess on the part of, I've heard this where when we talk to people, we always try to relate to what's in it for them. Instead of what's in it for me, but what's in it for them.
Yeah.
But in this case, the benevolence is also, it's not what they want sometimes, but you feel that that's what they need.
Yes, that's
in a
right.
way, it's tough love in a way.
Yeah, in a way, it's tough love. One of the steps to practicing benevolence is to be able to discern true needs. For example, a story was told once of Abraham Lincoln, whose nephew came to him for a loan. You know, he said, you know, Uncle, you're well off and I'm in need. I need to start a business. Could you give me a quick loan? But for For Abraham Lincoln, he discerned that his real need was not money. His real need was laziness. You know, he doesn't work with his hands. So he struck a deal with the nephew saying that, okay, I really want to help you, but at the same time, you really need to develop your sense of responsibility and diligence. So here is how we will do it. I want you to go out, get some odd jobs, and for every dollar that you earn, I'll top it up by another dollar. Now, how's that? So in a way, Abraham Lincoln practiced benevolence,
right.
But yet it was not something frivolous where he just threw the money out. But he discerned that the true need for the other person's well-being was responsibility and diligence. Sometimes, Freda, it's easier to give money rather than having to help a person work through what are the underlying needs that he or she might have.
Okay, so why is benevolence important then?
Well, benevolence, it's important because it helps to build a lot of goodwill. But benevolence is important because what it does is that it helps to promote stability in relationships around us. Because without benevolence, we tend to reduce our perspective of a person to just a set of numbers and figures. We might look at employees as just a dot on the org chart. And whenever we come to work, we look at how much we can squeeze out from them rather than realize and having a broadened perspective that they have a life. You know, they might have family issues. They might have certain tough circumstances. And without a benevolent mindset, we will have a very utilitarian mindset. You know, I will only relate to people who can contribute back to me. So in that sense, it doesn't promote a lot of goodwill.
Okay. So what are the key steps to applying this character quality?
Besides discerning true needs, we also should choose to care. Choosing to care. Love or benevolence, it's about commitment. I'm sure you recall this famous line that came from a movie saying, "Love means never having to say you're sorry."
Not true.
That is one deceptive statement on love. You know, love is actually a choice to commitment. And because of that, you find that you can't really just depend on feelings alone. Ask anybody who is married. The honeymoon effect doesn't last, you know. So beyond that honeymoon effect, you need to have a lot of commitment. Commitment to stick to it together, commitment to forgive and so on. So benevolence, it's a choice. And you touch a little bit about it just now on the next step. The next step to practicing benevolence is to make others successful. It might seem paradoxical that in order for me to succeed, I must help other people to succeed. But that's an observed fact of life. Those people who are successful realize that they cannot make it on their own. They need other people to be a part of their team. And one way to do that is to be able to help other people succeed as well. Because nothing really builds a team and builds loyalty as sincerity. And people can sense your sincerity if you practice benevolence.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So those are the three steps?
Yeah. We have a few more. Taking personal interest in others, it's a big step towards practicing benevolence. For example, I remember many years ago, when I was working in Singapore, my boss came to me and gave me a card. And when I opened my card, lo and behold, it was to wish me happy wedding anniversary. You know, it just came out of the blue. I wasn't asking for it. I didn't drop any hints. But when I showed it to my wife, she was visibly touched. That made up for all the overtime I had to do in the office. You know, because I find that, hey, my boss realized I have a life outside the office.
So it wasn't a wedding anniversary with the company,
yeah? Yeah, it was.
Because you were married to the job.
That's right. And the message that I get is that my boss realized that in order for me to be a productive worker, the supportive, you know, part coming from my wife is an important element. And of course, benevolence requires us also to give freely.
All right.
To give freely.
Okay, yeah. So how do you apply this benevolence in the job scenario or even the personal life scenario?
Well, let me start with the job scenario. For example, in practicing benevolence, we should do what we can to get along. That means don't get too hung up about who's right and who's wrong. Keep your eye on the big picture. And if need be, apologize when wrong. Even though you might be 90% right, focus on your 10%. And this is
a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But this is especially needful if you are in a position of leadership. One sincere apology from a leader can really change the entire atmosphere of the workplace. I would really encourage people in positions of leadership to take the first step to make an apology.
And be sincere about
it. This goes to managers, parents, teachers. The thing is this, when you make a sincere apology, the rest are motivated to want to do the same as well. And it changed the atmosphere in the office.
All right. Yeah. So when we come back, we'll talk about another character quality that acts as a balance to benevolence in our Performance by Character series on Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9. This is Frida Liu in Raise Your Game, and we're talking about character qualities in our Performance by Character series. I'm here with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting, a character first trainer. And earlier on, we talked about benevolence, and the next character quality that acts as a balance to benevolence is discretion. So why is discretion the balancing factor for benevolence? Or maybe we'll start off with the definition of discretion first.
Okay, all right. Now, before I go to discretion, just some rounding off thought on benevolence. But benevolence really means that, you know, if you're going through a particular tough time now, if you're going through some challenges, those experiences are not wasted, because whatever tough challenges you're going through right now can be a lesson that you pass on to someone else in the future. And when you transfer your own life's experience to someone else, that's benevolence at work. So really, no tough experience in your life is wasted. It should be stored away for future use.
All right. So we're going to discretion right now.
This discretion. Okay, discretion is defined as recognizing and avoiding words, actions, and attitudes that could bring undesirable consequences. Why is discretion a balancing factor to benevolence? Because if we were to get too carried away with benevolence, we could be too much in a giving mode.
Right.
We give, we sacrifice, we attend to every need that comes along our way. And let's face it, people can take advantage of our so-called self-sacrificial nature.
Don't be a doormat.
Yeah, in a way, don't be a doormat. So that's why we need to practice this discretion. Discretion is that we do have to realize that choices equal consequences. So with the limited time and resources that we have, when we want to be benevolent, we should recognize that there is also a constraint. So whatever choices we make in wanting to assist others, we should also realize that there are consequences as well. And we should be ready to handle those consequences when they come along.
Okay, so what's the opposite character quality for discretion? What's the behavior you shouldn't have?
The opposite trait to discretion is simple-mindedness. Someone who is just quick to believe everything, not doing thorough thinking beforehand. So this discretion has within it an element of careful thinking, an element of not wanting to rush into it because everybody else is doing it. This discretion also has a lot to do with the words that we speak, because especially in this day and age, words spoken can spread like wildfire in a matter of, you know.
Okay, so in this case,
hours or so.
Discretion also means being discreet in that sense.
Yeah, being discreet, that's right.
Okay, so why is it important, discretion?
Now, discretion, it's important because, especially for a leader, this discretion looks into the future, you see, because consequences has to do with what will happen in the future. So a person who is wise, who practices discretion, for example, he would learn to choose his words carefully. Because people don't understand intention, sometimes you might intend to communicate a certain thing, but how you communicate it might be different. So when you are practicing discretion, you are just not only concerned about what you say, but how you say it, when you say it, because the test of discretion is not what you say, it's in terms of what other people understand from what you say. I think discretion is especially important when you're doing a radio broadcast.
Okay, so what are the key steps to applying discretion?
Well, in practicing discretion, the key thing is to avoid trouble, because a person who is discreet will learn to foresee what could possibly happen in the future from present choices. So we've got to be very careful with the type of friendships that we have. We've got to be very careful with the type of environment that we are in. We've got to be very careful with how we conduct ourselves in public. So what we want to do is to be able to avoid trouble. Yeah. And how we relate to others, it's very important.
Yeah, because even if you try to avoid trouble, trouble still sometimes appear.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Try to avoid it as
so
much as
possible. So what we want to do is to minimize that as much as we can.
Okay.
And a discreet person also learn from his or her mistakes. Like I said earlier, discretion is about being able to think through situations. Mm. So there's a lot of constructive learning that we can get from the past. So as we are growing up, as we go through life, we learn through trial and error. So once we learn from trial and error, we got to learn how to avoid repeating those mistakes in the past.
Okay, yeah. So one step would be to avoid trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last step is to practice good manners. Practicing good manners, it's very important, especially when it comes to respecting another person's time and schedule. For example, before I begin a meeting with a client, I would usually ask, now how much time do I have for this meeting? So I want to be able to show respect for their schedule and their appointment, so that I avoid the undesirable consequences of having to rush through things at the end. So practicing good manners, social conventions, and not offending others. That's an important part of practicing
discretion. It's the simple things that your parents would have taught you.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Hopefully. Okay. Yeah. How do you apply this in the job or personal life?
Well, in the job and personal life, in terms of practicing discretion, it has a lot to do with learning to hold our tongue. You know, because sometimes we have this mentality that people tend to judge us by the amount of words that come out from our tongue, but not so. Practicing discretion means that you don't necessarily have to be the first one to speak. You don't necessarily have to be the one that churns out a lot of volume or amount of words in a meeting. So learn to listen first. Learn to read body language. Learn to ask good questions. And when you do that, then you will say because you have something worthwhile to say, rather than to just say something for the sake of saying something. So learning to hold our tongue, it's a very important practical step that we could take in practicing this discretion.
Okay, can be tough for some people. Any final words?
Well, let's come back to the definition of discretion again. Recognizing and avoiding words, actions, and attitudes that could bring undesirable consequences. Discretion, when coupled together with benevolence, build lasting friendships. Benevolence and discretion work hand in hand to help us consider the other person beyond just what we could get out of it. And when we focus on the value and the worth of the relationship without calculating what we could get out of it, then what we do is that we build bridges of trust and loyalty. That's what it takes. Okay. To achieve true success.
And Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting and a Character First Trainer will be back next week again for two more character qualities. And tomorrow in Raise Your Game, Dr. Yvonne Sam, speaker and leadership expert, speaks about parental leadership in companies. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.